Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center. The Eco News Report is brought to you by Humboldt Distillery. You can find their delicious spirits at your local grocer. I am joined by my friends at Friends of the Eel River, Alicia Heyman. Hey, Alicia.
Hey, Tom.
And Scott Greeson. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Tom.
And we are joined by our special guest, Fraser Haney, the Executive Director of the Wildlands Conservancy, and Sarah Seaborn, their Communications Director. Hey, you two.
Hey, Tom.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, of course. And we are here to talk about your exciting Lone Pines acquisition on the Eel River. And so I'm sure that my friends at Friends of the Eel River are going to be pretty excited about this because it is a huge acquisition of really important conservation land. So we're going to talk about the purchases that have already been made and your efforts to protect an even larger chunk of this really special place. So let's set the stage here. Where are we talking about on the Eel River that this Lone Pine Ranch is located?
Tom, in broad terms, the Lone Pine Ranch sits in the middle of the Grand Canyon of the Eel between Dos Rios and Alder Point. If you were to go by mile markers, it's somewhere between mile marker 75 to 105 along the river.
And this is an area, Scott, I think that you probably know this part of the world best, that is almost inaccessible to regular folk, right?
Yeah, I think the easier way to describe it for most folks in the region would be to say, this is the part of the Eel River that lies in Trinity County. It's the corner of the Eel River watershed that you can't get there from here, basically. But the other way to talk about it is it's a property that includes Island Mountain right at its center. Island Mountain is a geographic feature that gives its name to that whole region, but it's also a thing that has a giant tunnel right through the middle of it that the old Northwestern Pacific rail line goes through. So it's an extremely obvious feature on the Eel when you're going down it on a raft, as I have many times, because you see that big bridge going straight to a hole in a rock face that goes through that mountain for a mile. It's incredible territory.
Yeah. So Scott, as you say, if you are a rafter, you may have gone past it. The other way that you may have gone through the Lone Pine Ranch is if you were a train engineer on the railroad in the 1990s. Other than that, it is so special because it is so inaccessible in some respects, right?
That's right. And also because it's just, as Fraser said, it's a place of extraordinary beauty and just incredible wildlife values. I hadn't been in the habit of calling it the Grand Canyon of the Eel before, but I'm thinking about trying that on. It really does credit to the Eel to start to think about it that way. The thing about the Eel River corridor is it's nearly all private lands. 87% of the Eel River watershed is privately held. So opportunities for acquisitions like this that will protect big chunks of land as habitat for the future are incredibly important.
So, Fraser or Sarah, let's take listeners on a little audio journey to this place. If we were to go there today and stand in the middle of Lone Pine Ranch and kind of take a 360 view, what might we see?
Well, my favorite place to do that is on the highest point of the ranch, which is Horse Ranch Peak. And if you climb up on top of that craggy Horse Ranch Peak, when you look south, you're looking to the confluence of the North Fork of the Eel with the main stem of the Eel. And the geology at that point in the river, as you head downriver towards Island Mountain, is pretty amazing. The rocks that line the river channel are almost like huge gemstones. They're so colorful, oranges and blues and greens. At this time of year, the river's starting to get that turquoise color that's just enchanting. When you look west from Horse Ranch Peak, you'd be looking straight down into the Eel River Canyon. And as anybody knows that's been out there, it's precipitous. It drops off very quickly. It's very dramatic. There's huge rock formations that stand out on the Lone Pine Ranch out above the Eel River, like Moose Rock And on top of those rock formations, there's often forests of oak trees and bay laurel trees, madrone trees. They're just spectacular hardwood forests. The property is also dotted with a number of freshwater wetlands. So if you were to look east from Horse Ranch Peak, you'd be looking at what has been named Rice Lake. It's a 60-acre seasonal wetland. The last time I was there a month ago, it was under 3 feet of water, and there were waterfowl covering the surface of maybe a dozen different species of waterfowl. And that lake, that seasonal wetland, is surrounded by old-growth Doug fir forests. So there's about 12 to 15,000 acres of the property is healthy old-growth Doug fir forest, some of which has been logged. And we'd like to help that part of the forest recover. It was also impacted a little bit by the August complex. When you look north, you're looking over towards what's called the Turtle Ponds and Kekewaka Creek. Kekewaka Creek, when you walk in Kekewaka at the right time of year, the foothill yellow-legged frogs pop out of the creek and out of the cobble there like popcorn popping. There's just dozens of them all around when you walk through the creek. It's a spectacular spot. And there are some resident steelhead in the upper reaches of Kekewaka. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that from that point on Horse Ranch Peak, you can get a great view of the old Northwestern Pacific Railroad that most recently was converted into the Great Redwood Trail and the Great Redwood Trail Authority. And that's a big part of our long-term vision, is that we would love to see this ranch become an anchor point in the Grand Canyon of the Eel River towards that Great Redwood Trail vision. We're really excited about that.
Yeah, so this Great Redwood Trail is going to make accessible to a whole new generation of people this special place, which has been held in private hands for so long and has been kind of so difficult to access. So this is particularly exciting to me. I can't wait to go on a big, long bike adventure along the Great Redwood Trail. So you have a diversity of habitat types. So I imagine you have a great diversity of life. You've mentioned some frogs and waterfowl. What other species do you have on property?
Well, one of the things that you'll see if you go there is there are two herds of Roosevelt elk. And so that's one of the most charismatic megafauna on the property. Certainly there's things like mountain lions and bobcats. And although we don't have cameras up just yet, because we're still working on acquiring the property, there's almost certainly fishers there as well. And those elusive little creatures are pretty intriguing if you're into ecology, I think. That's not to mention all the different raptors, because there are a lot of open patches of grasslands on the property. It makes for really good raptor foraging habitat. And so the ridges on the Lone Pine Ranch could be home to the California condor. It's part of their historic territory. And so we're excited about the news that the rewilding for the California condor and returning it to its range in Northern California is happening, and excited and enthusiastic to see them return to this stretch of the eel as well someday.
So Wildlands Conservancy, you work to achieve conservation value by going out and using free market forces and purchasing these lands that are so high in conservation value, so important for us to maintain and preserve. And this is, let's see, you've completed one step in the purchase. Is that right? A smaller amount has already been conserved?
That's right. To initiate this, about 18 months ago in October of 2019, the Wildlands Conservancy invested $4 million of its own privately raised money to buy the first 3,000 acres of the Lone Pine Ranch. And we now call that our Emerald Waters Reserve. But it not only secured that 3,000 acres, it also secured a 2-year period that we could seek the remaining funds to buy the rest of the 26,600 acre ranch. So we're 6 months away from that option period expiring, and we have $9 million left to raise to finish. And Sarah can tell you more about our efforts there and about how some of that funding breaks down if you'd like to discuss that.
Yeah, Sarah, let's talk about this, because I'm sure, or I hope, that we have some extremely rich listeners who will want to contribute, you know, just a couple million dollars, just throw some down and get us the rest of the way there. So let's talk about fundraising for the rest of this bit.
Yeah, So the team here at Wildlands, Frazier and our president, David Myers, and some other folks have worked really hard to leverage other partnerships to raise some of the funding. And some of that being from the Wildlife Conservation Boards, Coastal Conservancy, who both toured the property and are really enthusiastic about the project. We have commitments from the Center for Biological Diversity and others. And so this last $9 million, we're kind of looking at it all in all outlets for this. We've got a campaign going with donors and prospects to try and raise interest and have had a pretty good response so far. So we're appreciative of this time to kind of get the word out that this project, as great as it is in urgent need of some funding so we can bridge that gap and close the deal.
All right. So $9 million. And you said you have a 6-month horizon that you need to get that raised by. So if anyone is interested in donating, where can we direct them to?
Wildlandsconservancy.org is the easiest way. That's our website. And pretty quickly, when you get on that page, you'll see that we have a banner related to our Lone Pine Ranch acquisition campaign that'll take you into more details about the project and our contact information for staff here. And folks are also welcome to reach out directly to us at info@twc-ca.org, either way.
And of course, we will have links to donate on our show page, which you can find at thelostcoastoutpost.com, or if you're listening to this as a podcast, they will be in the podcast notes as well. So one of the things that I immediately noticed when I was looking at a map of where this new reserve will be in relation to other important lands is that this is going to kind of complete a larger block of protected lands and maybe form a bit of a connectivity corridor reaching from the Eel up to U.S. Forest Service lands and our wilderness network. So can you talk about how this project fits into kind of a broader vision for landscape level connectivity and habitat togetherness? What is the word I'm looking for here?
Yeah, absolutely. So going back a couple decades in terms of the kind of formal study of connectivity up there, South Coast Wildlands had named this region, this area from the coast all the way up into the Six Rivers National Forest as a very important wildlife connectivity corridor or landscape linkage. More recently, there's been additional scientific analysis for large natural landscape blocks or small natural areas. And the Lone Pine literally is half of one and half of the other, meaning that it's very important in a regional sense for wildlife connectivity. That might be migrating birds, might be plants, it might be large predators like mountain lions. But then as you pointed out, Tom, on its eastern side, it connects directly. It's directly adjacent to the Six Rivers National Forest. And a bill that was introduced by Jared Huffman and Kamala Harris a couple of years ago, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, would make a portion of that area that the Lone Pine is directly adjacent to as wilderness. And it would give elevated conservation status for the other lands that are next to the Lone Pine that are part of our national forest there. And I understand that just recently, Senator Padilla and Senator Feinstein made it known that they would be working together with Congressman Huffman to reintroduce that bill. That's, of course, in addition to this ranch being along 18 miles of the designated National Wild and Scenic Eel River. So I hope that gives you an idea from our perspective about how it fits in regionally with other conservation efforts. And then, of course, I think anybody would be remiss not to mention what the folks along the Eel are doing through the Eel River Forum related to the dams upstream. So we hope that we can work in concert with all those other fantastic landscape level efforts to make connectivity.
Pretty exciting time for the Eel River. Yeah, well, so getting back onto connectivity, I think that thinking through connectivity as if you are some sort of a large mammal, whether you're one of these super charismatic Roosevelt elk, or you're a mountain lion or a bear, just imagine now you can travel as a result of this purchase from protected lands in our national forest system all the way down to the Eel River. You could have a drink from the headwaters of some of these tributaries to the Eel right down to the main stem. And that's pretty cool that you get to do that now. This is also protected for future generations against subdivision and development and future railroads and whatever else. It is a fantastic acquisition. The Econews Report joined with our friends from the Wildlands Conservancy, Fraser Haney and Sarah Seaborn. We're talking about their acquisition of the Lone Pine property along the Eel River. I would love to talk a little bit more about Wildlands Conservancy and how you found this property in the first place. And just, I think that it's important that we also kind of better introduce Wildlands Conservancy as an organization, because I think folks up here are going to hear a lot about you in the next couple of years. You have the exciting Lone Pines acquisition that we are hopefully going to get the rest of that money and we'll get the full 26,000 acres. And you have a new preserve on the coast as well, just outside of Trinidad, with the Seawood Cape Preserve. So can you give us a little bit of history of Wildlands Conservancy and your goals for the North Coast?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start us off and then I'd like to kick it over to Sarah. So just in brief, we were founded in 1995 in the deserts of Southern California near Pioneer Town. And our mission is to preserve the beauty and biodiversity of the earth and to fund programs so that children may know the wonder and joy of nature. And it's a mission that has caused us to grow statewide. We would love to continue to grow this model. We see ourselves as a sort of private nonprofit solution to the difficulties that California State Parks has had in accepting new park units. Our model is to acquire these properties like the Jenner Headlands Preserve in Sonoma County or the Seawood Cape Preserve in Trinidad and permanently steward them. So we're not turning them over at some later date to an agency to manage, but we own them and build partnerships and manage them forever. So I'd like to turn it over to Sarah to discuss a little bit more about what the organization does and some of our outcomes through time.
Yeah, thanks, Fraser. So in the last 25 years, we've exported our model stewardship and public access to, we have 21 preserves now. I think the newest being an acquisition up in, actually it was Emerald Waters, I believe was our newest acquisition. So this model is unique, I think, in the land trust world where we acquire properties and protect their conservation values, but then in an appropriate way, open those properties up for the public to access completely free of charge. And I think that that is really a cornerstone of what we do and where our success lies, because we bring communities into the fold and offer them opportunities to connect with nature, offer kids free outdoor education opportunities, and really showcase the importance of the environment and natural communities and get people back in touch with nature. Actually, over the last year with the pandemic, we've seen a huge increase in visitorship because we were one of the few places where people could go. So it's been great to see people reconnect that have lost that connection over time, and then also to see new people have these wonderful experiences at these beautiful preserves that are so rich in what they have to offer, both for natural habitats and wildlife, but then also for people too.
And it's for that reason that we founded, it's not a membership, but rather a way to engage with our visitorship called the Behold the Beauty Association. And so we're engaging with our visitors at these different preserves each day to try and encourage volunteerism, advocacy, to build a donor base. And hopefully it'll all serve to make the world a little bit better of a place. We see troubling headlines about the environment every day and people wonder what they can do. So we're trying to contribute to that through our visitorship model. More specifically on the Eel River, we've had a dream of what we call the Eel River Emerald Necklace for over a decade. We would like to see a series of large preserves that start at or above the confluence of the main stem and the middle fork that would go all the way to the sea, so that whether you were a hiker on the Great Redwood Trail or if you were rafting the Eel, that you might be able to stop at a wildlands preserve every night along your journey all the way to the Pacific Ocean and have a safe place to sleep, maybe have access to facilities like a restroom, and at certain locations to have points of public access so that people could gain access to the river through this preserve system that we envision along the Eel River. That's a long-term dream.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you about, actually, Fraser. You know, you guys have, you've made some great progress toward that dream with the Emerald Waters Reserve and the Spy Rock Reserve on either end of this Lone Pine property. And all three of those are right along the Great Redwood Trail, or what will be the future Great Redwood Trail. And so you guys are thinking about public access and providing ways for hikers, bikers, equestrians to get down to the river, and some ecologically appropriate introductions to the river and interpretation and all that kind of fun stuff.
Absolutely. That's consistent with what we do statewide. As Sarah mentioned, our visitorship each year seems to increase. And last year we hosted somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.5 million members of the public at this preserve system statewide. So it's a keystone of what we do to find appropriate ways to let people access these preserves. In some places that might be only hundreds of people a year, but in other places like our Oak Glen Preserve in Southern California, it's hundreds of thousands of people a year.
So how do you make decisions on land acquisition? So, you know, we have millions and millions of acres that could be potentially purchased here in California. How do you narrow that down and go about buying up and conserving these lands?
Well, Tom, I asked one of our co-founders that one day, and he had a simple definition for me. And that was, is it beautiful? And it really is. That's the starting point, I think. When we're inspired by a place and we work to save it, that does mean, though, that our appetite is often bigger than our stomach. So we've always got a lot of different places that we want to invest and engage in across the state, because there's so many places that need saved. I can give you a couple examples. Sarah mentioned most recently our Emerald Waters Reserve acquisition. We also were just awarded some Wildlife Conservation Board monies to acquire 6,000 acres on the East Fork of the Scott River, which is a tributary to the Klamath. And we're going to acquire what was the Hayden Ranch and rename it the Beaver Valley Headwaters Preserve, with the aim of helping that region to restore salmon habitat, the hydrology in the East Fork of the Scott River, and our local natural engineer, the beaver. So that was a place that had amazing natural beauty, good public access, but also some very clear ecological importance that needed a helping hand.
I was really glad that you said that you were going to bring back beaver there, because that was going to be my next question too. Because I know that there are a lot of folks in the Scott River Valley that are interested in the role that beaver can play. And CDFW has been paying for a number of years to create beaver dam analogs up there. And it always has seemed funny to me that why do the beaver dam analog when you can have the real thing? So I'm glad to hear that. And that's a terribly exciting spot. Restoration of Scott River is going to be critical to restoring our salmon fishery in the Klamath. So after you successfully raised the $9 million still left for the Lone Pine Reserve, where are you headed next? What are your next goals or next projects in mind?
Well, we'd like to invite the listeners along the Eel River to join us as we envision an Eel River Emerald Necklace. I think that we would like to do that both with the nonprofit partners like the Friends of the Eel River and Cal Trout, but also with the tribal communities along the river and many of the agencies that are working hard. And that's not to mention the communities, especially as you get down lower in the river, that have some challenges with public access along the riverbanks there. So once this acquisition is complete, if we can pull this off, we'd like to take a step and look at the bigger picture along the Eel River and see where is most important to go next. In addition to that, we're working very hard on a number of other projects statewide, and they all seem to end up revolving around water one way or the other. On the Santa Ana River Trail, we're working to do an acquisition of a golf course. Over in the Eastern Sierras, we're working on an acquisition that would help protect water rights along the West Walker River. And we're starting to dream our way into Oregon and Washington as well.
Very exciting.
So I've got to ask the tough question here. Of course, this will be no problem to raise the money, but what happens? What happens if you can't? When you reach that deadline in October, what's the consequence? What might happen to this property?
That's a really good question, Alicia, and we think about it a lot. And so much of what we've seen happen to other large ranches in Northern California is what we fear could happen to the Lone Pine Ranch if we're not successful in conserving it. It's a large ranch that consists of four smaller ranches that Dean Witter purchased and put together almost 100 years ago. And so our concern would be that this huge block of the landscape could get subdivided out into smaller and smaller ranches and developed, built with roads, developed for houses, or developed for some of the other landscape uses in Northern California, and that it would end up being a fractured part of the landscape along the Eel River. So we feel pretty strongly that we can't let that happen. And there's not a day that goes by that we don't have a new idea for where we can try and find the remaining funds that we need to acquire the property.
All right. So with that, let's give the plug one more time, how people can contribute to the Wildlands Conservancy and the purchase of this Lone Pine property.
Absolutely. The easiest way is to go to our website, which is wildlandsconservancy.org, and click on the banner about the Lone Pine Ranch acquisition. You can make a gift there that's absolutely restricted to the acquisition of the Lone Pine Ranch. You can also be in touch with our email, which is info@twc-ca.org, or you can call our headquarters, which is in area code 909-797-8507, and ask for Fraser or Sarah or David. Any one of us will be happy to talk to donors or other supporters, no matter how big or small, about how we get this done together. And yeah, I would just like to thank Senator Mike McGuire for his support to date of both the Great Redwood Trail, but also the Lone Pine Ranch acquisition. And if any of your listeners would like to reach out to Senator McGuire's office about their support for this acquisition, I'm sure that his office would love to hear their sentiment. He's also been working very hard on trying to help us with bridge funding for this acquisition. And so please let him know of your support for the project. And please let him also know that whatever he can do to help to fundraise, to fill the gap of funding, people on the North Coast are greatly appreciative of.
All right. Well, Fraser and Sarah, thank you so much for joining the Eco News Report today. I am terribly excited to ride my bike out to Lone Pine someday and camp amongst the old growth there. So thank you for what you do, and thank you for joining the show.
Thank you. And thanks to Scott and Alicia and all the friends of the Eel River, hard work up there. And thanks to Eco News for having us on today.
All right. Well, friends, this has been another episode of the Eco News Report. Join us again on this time and channel next week for more environmental news from the North Coast of California.